2. You recording? Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I've got Steve, Sharpie, Lauren, and Chris. Hello!
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Howdy, Lisa.
Howdy, Chris. So, on today's show, we're going to be talking about the one and only trip to Disney. How are you going to do that?
Know how you could do just one. It's kind of like Lay's potato chips.
You can't just eat one.
But you know, there are people, they do exist.
No, once
they've done Disney, they've done Disney.
That's my sister-in-law.
Those people do exist.
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah. No, it is. My sister-in-law is like that.
I think they're just as ill as those of us who go several times a year.
Somewhere in between is a happy medium.
Right. But
twice a year should be sufficient.
But for me, that medium wouldn't be very happy.
Do you know what my favorite thing is? My favorite thing is when I get a one and done client. They'll contact you and they'll be like, that's it. We're going once. And then they book another trip like right after.
Or they're not even home yet and they're contacting you.
Yes.
We want to do this again.
I had this happen in April because I had a lady. She was like from up north. So she was kind of, you know, intellectual and everything. She was like, this is it. And then she started really getting to the planning. And then like the whole time she's texting me going, oh, this is amazing. Or I think the alcohol in Epcot did help. But yeah, I mean, literally.
It helps a lot of us.
Yeah, she enjoyed that. That was a big surprise for them. But yeah, they liked it a lot. So
I could go for a mango margarita about right now.
I could go for a pillow right now. I'm really sleepy.
Oh, Chris is going to be a little slap happy. This will be fun.
Could be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but before we do that, we have a quick announcement. Lauren, you want to jump in on this? Do you know what we're talking about?
No.
Okay, sci-fi.
Oh, I didn't pull it up. I thought somebody else was doing it. I'm sorry.
Oh. I have it in front of me if you want it.
Okay, Chris.
All right. So this is exciting if you happen to be looking for a place to eat breakfast in Hollywood Studios. So starting November 1st, they're going to do a test at Sci-Fi for breakfast. And you can start booking that as of today, September 1st. And you'll book it just like you normally would. And they have several different entrees. It's not a... buffet. It's kind of a little like what they're doing at Be Our Guest. So they have the puff pastry. They've got, you know, scrambled eggs and brioche French toast and that kind of thing. And it's going to be $12.99 for a kid and $23.99 for an adult.
Huh.
Ooh, so, the price isn't too bad.
No, the price is really good. So, and it comes with a tray of pastries, which no one can say no to.
I like that.
And a mimosa. Okay, I made that last part up.
Everyone's going to go in there asking for their mimosa.
Now I want the mimosa. What
Where's
are you doing?
My mimosa?
Not
yeah,
fair.
I think that's a nice idea because one of the things about Hollywood Studios is there's not a ton of places that are any good to eat, but then there's not a ton of like breakfast places there. So that's a nice change.
No, I think you're going to start to see that a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try and draw the crowds into all the parks for breakfast because breakfast is not a good meal in the parks.
Mm-mm.
No, not currently.
For the most
there
part.
Aren't really a lot of options
Mm-mm.
For
sit-down breakfast.
Well, listen to this, though, because I can see some people not liking this. Like one of the entrees is puff pastry filled with scrambled eggs, crab, asparagus, and Gruyere cheese with roasted tomatoes and avocado. Okay, I would eat that. But the other one, grilled tenderloin on baby spinach with bacon and cheddar custard on a roasted tomato and cheesy horseradish potatoes. That sounds like lunch.
I was going to say that sounds more like dinner.
Yeah, lunch or dinner. So, and then, of course, they have that scrambled egg platter, which, you know, most people will eat. And then the macadamia crusted brioche French toast.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
That's nuts.
Ah, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, actually, Sharpie, somebody told me yesterday, they're like, I love Chris Sharp's puns.
It's an illness.
Yes.
And it's spreading.
Yes. His name is Don. Hello, Don. He listens to the show. So, well, obviously, he knows about your puns.
Unless they have private
conversations. Did that conversation just dawn on you?
Stop. Oh, my gosh. He and his wife will love that.
Just for you, Dawn.
That's enough. Okay.
All right. So to our topic, It's your one and only trip to Disney. You're a family. You are. You've got some kids. Let's say you have an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old. And you only get one opportunity to go to Disney. You know what? I'm not even going to give an age for the children because that's going to be part of the quiz. I want to know if you know you're going to have one trip to Disney, what age do you bring your kids?
Wait a second. This is a quiz. I don't do well with those.
Well, it's more of more of a query.
I may not be passing this.
It's okay. Because everyone gets a glass of wine at the end.
Oh, yay. Okay. Win-win.
Yeah. So what's the best age?
The best age?
Mm-hmm. You only get to go once.
If you only have...
Six.
So I would... Yeah, I'm leaning towards that too. So no kids... If you're only going once, no kids under six because...
They're not
going
to remember it.
They won't remember it. But you want to do it before they're 12 or 13.
And you want to do that, like, especially for little girls, you want to do it before they reach the age of they don't like princesses anymore, which I believe is 7, the going age.
You know, no, because I have to disagree with that because I think when they're in the parks, like, they might not like princesses when they're back at home, but when they're at Disney, I think that princess thing goes up to maybe 8 or 9.
You know what?
Everyone,
it goes up
let's
more.
Let's just face it. Everyone likes princesses.
Yeah.
Hold on, hold on. Everyone's talking. Hold on.
Chris,
Steve's like, I like princesses.
My husband loves Jasmine.
There you go.
Stop. Everybody loves Jasmine.
Okay, but I was going to say, you've got to find a happy medium between the belief and the fascination and the enchantment when they're young enough.
That's it. The magic is there at 6.
Right. Yeah. But you've got some pretty awesome rides that you want them to be tall enough for.
But aren't they tall enough for like everything pretty much by 6 or 7?
No, 8.
I think 8.
Yeah.
8.
For the average child.
When we went this past July with my twin nephews, one was tall enough, one was not. So it was...
That's trouble.
Oh, yeah, gosh, really? We have the height disparity with my twins, too. And let me tell you, it's not good.
Yeah. Well, we were able to arrange some alternative entertainment. So he got to meet Pluto in person. So that was fun.
That'd be my cup of tea.
Cute.
Yeah. But I still Rather think than that magical age world. Is 6.
If you're going for magical, you're not going to get to ride every ride.
No.
But you're going to appreciate the magic of Disney at that age. So let's just say, we're going back to this, your kids are, let's just go with 9 and 10. Okay, so right around there. So they're not going to really wander off on their own, and you're going to stay as a family all day. And what time of year do you go?
Ooh, that's tough.
That I would base that on the ages, because I wouldn't pull out a kid after
9 and 10 year old.
Yeah, I think you can probably get away with it through elementary school, depending on the kid. Although I wouldn't personally do it after maybe 3rd grade, but yeah, that's a tough one.
Okay, school aside, they have a magical holiday whenever they want.
I'm going in November. Oh my gosh. Get out of my brain, lady. Yeah, November.
Okay. Sharpie. Yep.
Because
I have to say fall. I know school, but I'm not opposed to taking kids out of school for a week to go to Disney. I think travel done right is extremely educational in so many senses.
That is.
Yeah. Until, go with that. I like that.
I like that. But the problem with that, and that's a whole nother show, but the problem with that is that, you know, you take a 7th or 8th grader out or even older and they're just, the school's really not happy.
Yeah.
So.
And the kid's not going to be happy.
And I know Lisa Griswold is not taken when her daughters are that age. She will not be taking your kid out of school.
No, I think we're done. Amber's in 5th grade and I think we're done taking her out of school.
Oh my gosh, Amber's in 5th grade.
Yes. Brooke's in kindergarten.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot wait.
When did she grow up?
I know. This is their first and only year that they'll ever have together in school.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Unless Amber's terribly remedial.
I doubt that'll happen.
That's not happening.
She might travel to Europe for a couple of years before she really goes to college. I don't know. But yeah, I think the fall is great. I love going in January too.
Well, that's fallish.
Well, no, that's winter.
Well, January can be cold.
Yeah, it's cold. And the other thing is there are a lot of closures. And it's not as bad in world as it is in land where they close like everything down. But I would not go in January for a one time only because maybe something like Splash Mountain is always down.
Yeah, that's
you're right. You know? Water parks, not so much fun. So, okay, I'll go with the fall when there is a bit of heat so you can enjoy some sunshiny activities. Mm-hmm. But I would avoid the deep, dark summer.
Mm-hmm. See, if I had to pick my perfect week to go, it would be the week after Thanksgiving.
Yep, same here.
If I had to pick, because you have your holiday decorations are up. The weather's still nice. It could be a little chilly sometimes, but for the most part, it's nice. And the crowd levels are low.
Yeah, I think that's a good week. I think you're okay. For me, I'm going to want to see Christmas. If it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip, I want to see Christmas at Disney. So at the very least, I'm going mid-November. If I can't take my kids out, I'm going Thanksgiving weekend or Thanksgiving week. That's just a great week to go.
Okay.
Since they took the wreaths off of the over above the street on Main Street, I agree with that. Before, I did not like them there at Christmas time because you could not get a good photo of the castle
A lot of people feel that way. I like the wreaths too. But at first, I didn't.
At first, I didn't care for what they changed them to on the light posts. Mm. But whenever I look back, I remember first walking into the Magic Kingdom the first Christmas that we went, and I was like, "Ooh, I don't like all of that." Above the street. It just looked cluttered to me. So, to each his own.
Okay. So, what is the perfect duration?
Seven nights.
Yep.
Yeah.
You don't think a couple more?
I think if you stay more, work and your home starts to fall apart. If you stay less, it's just not enough.
Yeah.
I agree.
A week is good.
Okay. Just plain devil's advocate here. All right.
We've stayed longer.
I think
a once in a lifetime.
I think 8 or 9 wouldn't be too bad because then you could really take in, you know, the resorts and the activities.
Didn't we do that many days back in that? We did it 2 years ago in July. Remember, we all stayed at Animal Kingdom.
That was a really long time.
Yeah, I think the Griswolds were there as long as we were.
Weren't you there like 5 days?
Well, nice. I mean, we've stayed for some time there and then tagged it on with a Disney cruise and. That also makes for a very nice trip.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you stay?
Grand Floridian. Ooh. 2-bedroom villa.
You're not holding back.
Once in a lifetime trip, Monorail Resort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too, Polly.
You know what, though? I mean, realistically, how many of us have clients that save for 3 or 4 years to go and they stay at Pop? So, I mean, go where you can afford to go, where it's not going to drive you crazy to pay for it. Cause you know, I mean, like, you know, we all know people who, you know, they book more than they should really afford. And then it stresses them out. But if you can spend the money.
Yeah. The deluxe resorts are nice, but the reality is you're going to spend most of your time in the parks. If you go with my and Sharpie's plan, you're going to spend a couple days at your resort. But you're going to spend all your time in the parks and you're going to shower and you're going to sleep in your room. So how important is it? If you're looking for
that once in a lifetime experience, the thing I love the most about the deluxe resorts is that you are immersed in the magic from the moment you arrive.
Right.
From the arrival experience all the way up to checkout. There's just that extra layer of luxury and an enchantment with the theming and all of that of the deluxe resorts. And plus the pools are just incredible with the slides and all of the water play areas. And that's something that your value resorts just don't offer.
I have to say, as expensive as the Grand Floridian is, it really does offer a lot. whether you're going to sit in the lobby any time of day. There's always so much going on, whether it's just people watching or, you know, listening to the big band. You can do so much. You have the splash area, walking the grounds. You can go to so many different restaurants. You know, and you can go anywhere from Victoria and Albert's and Narcoossee's to 1900 Park Fair. So you've got a variety of restaurants. You've got quick service as well. I do think it's a good place. The proximity is wonderful. Pretty cool.
Yeah. You have the cafe and Citrico's as well. Then you just hop on the monorail and you can eat over at the Magic Kingdom or at any of the other resorts right there. Which is nice compared to like some of these deluxe resorts like the Four Seasons, where the pool bar restaurant was the only thing open during lunchtime.
And it's very populous during the day.
Yeah, and you're landlocked unless you have a car. There's a ton of places to eat and things to do and see when you're right there on property.
Okay, so Steve kind of touched on my next thing. Name your top two must-do restaurants on all of Disney property. Once in a lifetime. Not including shows. Geez, not including shows.
Okay, can
I go? That's really tough.
Oh, Lauren, you're ready. You go.
I can go. I think if you have children and it's their first visit there, it's their only time they're ever going, I think even though I'm not a huge fan of them, every person should experience Cinderella's Royal Table and Chef Mickey.
Ugh. I was going to say,
I'm not a fan, but I think everybody that goes, because it's the one thing when you come home, everybody's going to say to you, oh my God, did you do Chef Mickey? And if you don't do it, you're going to feel like you missed out.
But you didn't.
When in fact, you really didn't.
You didn't. You should say.
And I said, I prefaced it with that I didn't. It wasn't my favorite.
You should say, I listened to Mouse Chat and I went to the Grand Floridian and had a much better character meal experience for less money at a much nicer resort. And the character interaction was much better.
1900 Park Fair.
Yeah. And they actually gave me really good food.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I would much rather do 1900.
No opinions stated here.
But everyone, it's true though. Like Lauren said, everyone's stuck on those two character dinings when there's so many better options.
Yep.
Oh,
but it is like, you know, it's the one thing that people feel like they missed out on if they don't do it.
Like, come on over, bend over and take it. That's pretty much it.
Oh, Steve, what is up with you tonight?
He's just crazy tonight.
I am.
He's in rare form.
Sassy. You're very sassy.
Mm-hmm.
My jaw is dropped.
Mm-hmm. If you don't leave that in, Steve, I'll be really sad.
Oh.
Okay, so Lauren, take that aspect away.
Okay.
Based on
pressure.
I know. Pressure's gone. So two restaurants that you think would
Garden Grill.
True experiences that the general public would appreciate for food value, food taste and quality, variety. You can throw in characters if you want, location, ambiance, all of those. What does it for you?
Huh. Okay. So not Chef Mickey, Garden Grill would be my favorite character meal. And then for experiences, I would have to say California Grill.
I think there are a lot of good restaurants. This is going to be a hard one for us, I think, because you get
the view.
Yeah.
The view is just amazing up there. The food is good. Those apple fritters are pretty good. As long as you don't have Chris stabbing you with a fork. It's
banana fritters.
The banana fritter. Sorry.
Yes. Yes.
You know, with that caramel sauce. Yum, yum, yum.
That is so good.
But I'm thinking, you know, Ohana offers so much. You know, it's quite an experience. It's good food. It is too, Steve.
Yeah,
but Ohana's not consistent.
He's giving me faces.
The bad thing about Ohana is it's not consistent.
Do you know why I like kids. Ohana?
The kid thing drives me nuts at Ohana.
Yeah.
If you have kids, you'll like Ohana. If you don't have kids and you want to talk and have a nice meal, they're going to be running those kids around hula hooping and...
Is that why we're going to Ohana in October, Steve?
Rolling a coconut around with a stick.
With like 20 people.
Playing the
And you
ukulele.
Have to get a reservation early. If you wait and grab one of the really late night reservations, your service is going to be terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually going to pick Ohana myself. And that's because I like Ohana because it's very noisy and fun for your last night. Because a lot of times when you're at Disney, and if you don't get to go a lot, even if you do go a lot, you might be a little sad on your last night. And Ohana's kind of a pick-me-up sort of night. And usually there's something of those multiple courses that you can find that you'll enjoy.
Yeah, but if you wait until the end, you're going to have no room.
The bread are yum.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to go late, but here's the nice thing about Ohana. You can go to Trader Sam's before or after. So you could kind of extend your evening, or you can walk out and watch fireworks on the beach. I mean, it's kind of a nice...
I'm sure the kids will enjoy Trader Sam's.
Trader Sam's is fun for the whole family. Okay, so, yes.
How's the grog there, little Jimmy?
You can actually bring your children to take... You can actually bring kids there until a certain time at night. I'm not sure what time it is. And as I always tell my clients, it's Disney. It's not a real bar. Bring the kids.
You can't. Yeah, but there I think it's like 8 o'clock or earlier. It's not very late. Go there at six
and, yeah. Stay for a couple hours and then roll the kids out. And,
maybe
they're asleep in their stroller. Okay. So that is my one of mine.
Ohana. Do you have another one?
I do. I have two, actually. So I don't like character meals. I have three more, actually. If you have to do a character meal, just do...
Not the foodie. The foodie doesn't have three more.
I know, right? Do Cinderella's Royal Table because it's awesome. And, yes, it's overpriced, but you have to do it. And we all have clients who say, I don't care how bad the food is. I want to eat in the castle. And I think if you're going there just one time, even if you have boys, you eat in the castle. Yeah, so that's my one.
Experience.
Number two... Hire a babysitter and go to Victoria and Albert's. You will not regret it. It's totally worth every penny. It's very, very, it's romantic. It's nice. I know that Lauren and I found it. It was so romantic for me and Lauren. anyway, so go to Victoria and Albert's. I mean, the food is awesome. And my third one is my absolute favorite place to eat on Disney property. And I'm not even that crazy about the food anymore because I've had it so many times. But California Grill. I just think it's a very nice environment. You can see the castle and it's lit up at night and it's gorgeous and the food is good. So
it's
those
like
would be
connected.
My... What?
it's like we're connected.
I know. Seriously. I would do it though. I would say those are your four. And if you really have to see Mickey and Minnie, do Tusker House. So that was five.
Hmm.
And you complain about me.
I know. This
I was very proud of you, Lauren.
You cannot limit to two. You can't limit it to two because
there's
so many variables. I know. But you're not as crazy about food as me. I'm looking at food right now. I'm looking at a pile of chocolate right now as we speak and thinking, can I get over there quietly? So anyway, I'm not even kidding. There's a pile of chocolate on my desk. So.
All right, Steve.
Yes, Steve. So
I'm on the same line as everybody else. So if it's only two and you have kids, I hate character meals, but you have to experience a character meal. And I like going for breakfast because it's affordable. It's like $20 to $30 a person. It's in the affordable price range. It's usually a good buffet. If you go to
they have good food at breakfast.
Yeah, if you go to Beach Club, we've had a really good one there. We're 1900 Park Fair. We said that. That one as well. So breakfast usually works out really well. It's a good way to start the morning, get your characters in, and then hit a park without having to go see the characters because you've got five of them already marked off your list. And then I have to go with the same one as everybody else for California Grill because, unlike Victoria and Albert's, it's California Grill's in the affordable range for most people. It's up on the top floor of the Contemporary. Like Lauren said, you have that amazing view. If you plan it right, you can see the fireworks, and it's your only trip there. So you can have a real nice meal, look at the fireworks. If you go too earlier, you can get up later, and there's two observation decks that they'll let you back up there to watch the fireworks, and they have the music pumped in. You can have a drink. And they have really good food, really good service, great wine list, great sushi, great desserts. And you get to go in the hotel that the monorail goes through.
Ooh.
That's like the cool thing if it's your first trip.
Yeah.
It's like you saw that on the commercials back in the 70s. Like, I want to go in that hotel where the monorail drives through. And you get to eat in there and see the fireworks. And it's the best place to see the fireworks from if you're going to have dinner.
It's such a Disney icon.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
Very true. Okay. I was thinking along the lines of the castle. You have to do Cinderella's Royal Table. You know, as far as another restaurant, I was kind of going for fun. I think Akershus can be fun if you've got girls. That's a good one. Chef Mickey, you guys are right. It's very iconic, and you're going to have characters for everyone. So I'm kind of on the coattails of all of you.
Yeah.
I won't go into too much detail because you guys already did. All right, so Sharpie, I think that leaves you.
Oh,
you've had time to think. Come on now.
I know. There are so many. If it's a family meal, I have to say Whispering Canyon.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one for breakfast.
It's close to the Magic Kingdom. It's a short boat ride away. So you can leave the Magic Kingdom and get back within a reasonable amount of time. Plus, it would make for a good afternoon break, and especially if you're going in the summer, like the heat of the afternoon, late afternoon, evening, and you might miss the rain. But a great, reasonably priced dinner, really fantastic surroundings, and you get to see one of what I think are one of the gems of the Walt Disney World Resort, and that's Wilderness Lodge. So
yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think it's a great meal.
Mm-hmm. They have great dinner over there, too.
Yum, yum, yum.
Artist Point.
Oh, yeah, that is really good.
All right, what else, Sharpie?
Food-wise, I have to say Tusker House Breakfast. That's.
I am surprised that you went to Animal Kingdom. That is so unlike you.
Yeah, it's shocking. I'm glad I'm sitting down.
Me too. I know. I don't know that I could have gotten back up.
Mm-mm.
I still haven't been.
Now that we've harassed you.
I'm so unpredictable. I mean, come on, people. You all know me so well.
You know, I think people go. The thing is that the majority of people go to Disney World as a kid. It's like going to Wally World. It's like we got to go ride the roller coaster. We got our
Steve,
kids.
Wally World doesn't exist except in your fevered imagination.
No.
Stop.
It's like
don't
the one
Steve
trip
that.
And it's like the people are like I even run into friends and they're like, all right, I gotta take the kids to Disney World. What do I gotta do? You know what I mean? It's like I'm gonna do like this and then we're going
it,
on
I'm
beach.
A bad parent.
Yeah.
Yep,
I just have
true.
To do it for one time, get it over with, right, go through the lines.
But if you use the right travel agent.
Yeah, they don't but people don't look at it as like a normal vacation because you can do so much more. They feel like they have to stand in lines for 7 days and hit everything and make it their one time there, and then it becomes kind of miserable versus enjoying some of these nice restaurants, doing some shopping, enjoying the pool, doing some other stuff on property or at some of the other resorts or around Orlando.
Yeah, there's so much more to it. You're right.
And that's why people don't understand. They're like, you're going to Disney again?
There's so much to do.
So, because they think of it as a kid's once and done. I made it through. We saw Mickey Mouse.
I'm good.
We signed some autographs. We rode some rides. I stood in the heat for several hours and spent a bunch of money and left. So, but there's so much more to it. Anyways.
Okay.
Sorry, Lisa.
I agree.
Okay. Shows. Pick one show. And I'm referring to dinner shows. So you've got Hoop De Doo, Luau, and Backyard Barbecue.
Really?
You're so...
Oh, I'm picking mine.
No, I was thinking it.
I was thinking, like, if I'm only going once in a lifetime, I'm not doing any shows for dinner shows.
I don't want to do shows either.
I don't want to spend the money.
You're doing a dinner show. Enjoy it.
No, because there's so much...
I want to go to Pure Platinum and see that show.
No.
Is it not Pure Platinum? That is that's something else.
That sounds never.
I don't
mind.
Even
I'm
know what other show you're
hey, it's in Memphis. Anyway.
The only one that everybody...
It's Parliament House.
Yeah, what goes on in your house, Chris? That's all I want to know.
Yes.
My face is beat red.
The only show for dinner.
When I was in law school. Sorry. I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Sure you didn't.
Shut up.
Look, she's embarrassed because she goes there often.
Mm-hmm.
The only dinner show that people continually rave about is Hoopty Doo Review.
That's the one.
I don't want to go to that.
Or
I don't
want
to go to any of them.
I don't either, but people love the Hoopty Doo Review until you get the bill at the end of that show.
Yeah, it's too much money. I would rather take that.
You know what,
though?
Here's the thing. If you do Hoopty Doo correctly, you have drank enough sangria that the bill doesn't bother you.
I guess.
It's also a pain in the rump to get there.
It's not an easy. Yeah, it's way out in the moment.
Yeah, you've got to like take the internal bus, and I don't know.
You just take the boat. It's so much simpler. Take the boat.
Yeah,
from the Magic
it really
Kingdom.
Is.
That's
oh
assuming
my gosh,
I'm
it's
in the
so
Magic
easy.
Kingdom.
Oh, go there.
Yeah, I'm with Sharpie.
Not that hard.
Sorry, I don't want to. Sorry, Lisa. None of us are going to spend one of our 7 nights on our only trip to Disney World doing a dinner
show.
And
2 dining Clearly. Credits.
And yes.
And it's the
Thanks,
same
Chris.
With the luau. Everyone hates the luau.
Yeah, I wouldn't do the luau.
The luau should be just they should, get rid of it. They should put something else up there, like a DVC kiosk.
Because there aren't enough of those.
I know.
Okay.
The luau wouldn't be so bad if it was actually a luau. But it's a dinner show about a luau. That's what makes it cracky.
Whenever you have to add a caveat that actually changes like 90% of what it is, it's not any good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has good luau aspects.
All right, so we save people money on dinner shows. Now go take that money and go spend that at something nice at the Grand
Floridian. Upgrade your resort.
Go to Victoria and Albert's. Like
you could
Chris
go
said.
To Victoria and Albert's, get a sitter.
You could for the price of all of you going to Hoopty Doo Review.
Okay. What? You guys did not respond well to this portion of the query. You guys all failed.
What about shows? What show
I
would you see?
I knew we were going to fail this test. I knew it.
Yes,
you
miserably.
You should have said what show would you see at Disney that's a must-see show.
Okay, give me a must-see show.
Like a nighttime show.
Like Cirque?
Or a show in the parks or a show like Cirque. Any of those. What's the
I don't want to go to Cirque du Soleil either.
And Chris doesn't like any shows.
Okay, but if you hadn't gone to Cirque du Soleil, would you want to go to Cirque du Soleil?
No, not really. It was great to go because it was free, but I don't think I'd pay for it.
No, me neither. I'm with you.
Oh my gosh, I love Cirque.
Oh, I liked Cirque it too. I liked it for $0, but for $100, no.
Yeah, I don't think it...
Not for this is my only visit.
Yes,
there's
I agree.
So yeah. Many other things that you need to do. You need to see all the fireworks shows. You need to see, Fantasmic and Wishes and, the Electric Light Parade. You don't need to see Cirque.
Okay, this is going to be painful. Anywhere.
So what
Pick
show?
Pick one nighttime
Wishes.
Spectacular.
Ooh, Wishes.
Wishes. Hands down, Wishes.
Sharpie?
Sharpie's going to do, I think, Epcot.
There's nothing in Animal Kingdom he can't pick.
Well,
that.
He can't pick
right,
that yet.
Right? I'm like River. Never mind. It's not open yet. Wishes. If you're gonna see one, it has to be Wishes.
I mean, it encompasses the castle and the music and the lights and the everything. I agree. Wishes.
Yeah, I think that's the best nighttime show. It's over at Magic Kingdom in case people are, it's their first trip and they don't know.
Okay. What about little extras? And anything that you think people should be doing on their one and only trip that most people don't even know about? Whether you think they need to do a fireworks cruise or go to Bibbidi Bobbidi, what do they need to do on this one trip?
Well, I think depending on the kids' ages, Bibbidi Bobbidi, Pirates League... are things to look at. Those are things you might regret not doing depending on the kids' ages.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of want to splurge on those and let the kids get dressed up.
Yeah. Especially if you have a little one that may be a small window where, if you did go back in 10 years, they're not going to be able to do it.
Nope, it's not happening. Know? This is a once and done.
Yeah.
You're not going back.
Yeah, but once they book and they have the right person helping them, they're going to go back.
No, because in our scenario, as soon as they go to the park, it burns down to the ground and they can't go back.
That's just mean.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but I'm trying to drive a point home. They're not coming back.
That's mean.
Yes. I know. It didn't really burn down, everyone.
Oh, phew.
Okay, put down the wine.
No.
Okay, extras. Any extras? Steve.
I want to... Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
No, you go, Steve.
Oh, well, mine's the traditional, like, geek thing. I was going to say you have to get a Dole Whip or a citrus swirl.
What about a turkey leg?
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse ice cream bar, Lauren.
Yeah.
I actually like the turkey leg. You need a Mickey bar. But I'm weird.
Mickey bar is good.
Okay. I don't know what else. What about the water parks? Do it or don't do it?
No. First trip?
Only trip.
Only trip? No.
You can do- See, the water parks are great if you, like, you know, have a 4-day ticket and you're there for 7 days, or something.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the water parks. And if we're sending people in the fall, I always think they're iffy in the fall anyway.
Me too.
There's so much shade there. Can I just say that my extra would be hire a sitter and go out to dinner somewhere really nice.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
I don't know why more people don't do that.
Well, I know why we don't do it.
Why don't we do it?
Because it's expensive.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Chris,
because
you
I'm
know
already
what,
spent. Because the entire time
it,
I'm doing this sitter, I'm thinking about this meal at Five Guys is costing me like $125.
Do you know what? I think
you're
right. You're right to a certain extent, but I think it's also important that
you're like,
you know,
this better be a really good meal.
It's worth it. We always put it in our budget for the trip. We always put a sitter in. We're not doing it like for the short one we're doing in September for fall break, but in general, we always get a sitter. And I don't even, you know what though? And my kids are such picky eaters that when you look at how much I would spend for them to like pick up a piece of fruit and throw it down, it's more than worth it to have them get a pizza with a babysitter and be all sleepy and tired when we get back.
Okay. I don't know what I would do as an extra. You know what? Whatever I do as an extra is going to be at Fort Wilderness. Or maybe a tour.
Really? A tour is nice, yeah.
I might do a tour.
But again, that's your first and only trip. Are you really going to do a tour?
No.
Probably not.
I would advise against it. Unless you're doing like a 9-night and you really, and your kids are of age to do Keys to the Kingdom, I don't think.
It's a daytime thing. You don't have really any kind of sitter. I mean, you can get a sitter during the day, but it's kind of weird and awkward. I think also if they're only going once, they're not really going to care about the people who care about those tours are geeks who are going to come back again and again.
Yeah.
No offense, geeks. I'm including myself in that, but yeah.
Yeah. All of us have done it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Sharpie, how would you splurge?
I honestly, probably our splurge would be Victoria and Albert's.
Oh, it's a good splurge.
Because, yeah. I mean, we made a reservation for our January trip and we canceled it. I just can't see paying that for one single meal.
How much is it?
No way.
Oh my
you
gosh.
You have to do it.
How much
First
is it?
First of all, it's like $100 per person, maybe 120.
Not bad.
No, I mean, in all honesty, you're going to, okay, first of all, life is very short and the food is really awesome there. I mean, like everything you eat there, you're going to be amazed by.
The food's not as good as the service, though.
Oh, the food is really good.
Yeah, well, consider the source, me.
You have to like that kind of food. But I think it wasn't so far out that like the average person couldn't enjoy it. Because even you did enjoy it, Lisa.
The food? Yeah. Well, they made it.
Yeah.
Like I got the baby menu.
Well.
That worked out.
See, and that's when I think of all what two people would pay, and this is purely me. I don't buy myself expensive things, So it is very difficult for me to justify spending that much on one meal. Will we do it sometime in our life? Probably. We'll probably do it.
But you know what?
Oh my gosh. You might not be able.
You might have little kids, you know, the road you're going on right now. You may have like three kids and bam, you got to spend it on them. So do it now, Sharpie.
Actually, yeah. Go now.
Yep, yeah, she's right.
Because those Legos are expensive, my friend.
Yes, they are. I know, because I buy them for myself.
Uh-oh, you better hide those. Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm a Lego geek.
Well, it's a one-time thing, and I don't know. And it adds up fast, because if you start adding the wine or whatever, then, you know, it's $250 or $300 or whatever to get out of there. But
yeah, that was pretty bad.
But it's definitely worth it, because I feel like...
It's an experience.
I mean, sometimes I get like you could go to the boathouse place in Disney Springs and pay $80 for a steak and have the worst meal of your life, or just bump it up a little bit more and go to Victoria and Albert's for a much nicer meal.
Yeah.
I mean, because what did you pay? I mean, you paid probably...
It was $100 for me and two kids' meals, because one kid didn't get her meal. And so, yeah, it was $100.
Yeah, I would have much rather spent
a
little bit more than that $100 over at Victoria and Albert's and had a much better experience. So, anyway.
Okay. Did everyone say an extra that wanted to?
Oh, I have another extra. Spa.
Oh, spa.
I was considering that. But to me,
but still, it's the I can do that thing. At home. It's a first visit.
Yeah, I can do it at home.
One and only visit?
Yeah, that's true, because you might not have time for it.
I still think your one and only visit, you're experiencing all things Disney.
True.
Okay. I'm going to throw a twist in here. Everything we just did...
Backwards.
No.
Upside down.
No.
With allergies.
At Universal.
Oh my gosh, you guys, stop.
With allergies. with a dad's disability card.
Stop. Oh, you guys are exhausting. Everything we just did, we're going to do a much, much shorter version. It's a micro version.
$10.
You have no kids. You're a couple. How does that change where you stay, when you go, how long you stay, what you do, what you eat?
Party time.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that would change my mind drastically, actually.
How so?
Because I would go in October so that I could do Food and Wine Festival.
Yes.
And I would actually still stay at like Poly or Beach. Actually, if I was going for Food and Wine, I'd stay at Beach or Yacht.
Yep.
Apparently, Steve is staying with you.
She is. We're going.
Steve and I are going. We're on it. We're on our way.
This is like awesome already. This is sounding great.
And I do Victoria and Albert's.
Oh, we even get to go to Victoria and Albert's?
Yeah, so we're going to do the wine pairing, Steve.
Wow.
Yeah, but you saw what happened last time.
I know. That was
she didn't do the wine pairing, did you?
I didn't
it was
do
just
it.
Chris
no.
and I yelled
I
it. And
it.
You were the
awful.
Wine person.
It was out of my league.
Well, all right. That sounds good. That's like the perfect thing. It's so much fun to go as an adult.
It is.
So much more relaxed pace. You don't have the meltdowns. You don't have the nap. Well, you could still do
I'm
the
still
nap.
Going.
Wait a
you
second.
Still
I
have meltdowns.
I still
are we
melt.
Talking about naps for adults or kids? I just want to make. I just want to clarify that.
You can still have naps and you can still have meltdowns.
Yeah,
we've
true.
Been there with me before as an adult. We all know I've had a meltdown there.
So poor much. Lauren lost her phone.
Oh my God. That was like very traumatic for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Okay. Sharpie. How does all this change? How does your plan change?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Because there are so many variables with that.
Well, spew some. All right, Sharpie, you think on it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think on that one.
Okay.
That's yeah.
Okay. Chris Wood.
I am going to stay at Grand Floridian and I'm going to have a 7-day park hopper. I'm going to eat all deluxe dining. No character meals, obviously.
All signature.
Yeah.
Look, are you coming to Victoria and Albert's with Steve and I?
I totally am.
Oh, good.
Well, now I have to go just because I don't want to miss out on anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I'm going to Victoria and Albert's. You know what? I'm heading over to Bull and the Bear over at the Waldorf Astoria.
I still want to go over there. That sounds awesome. Yeah. Can we talk about it?
Hmm.
How much does that cost? Is that like V&A price, Victoria and Albert's?
I think you're looking at about 100 per person.
All right, so it's the same.
Yeah, but we paid that over at Four Seasons.
Yeah.
And it was not good.
Yes. So, oof.
I think I would. See, it's hard for me to say because I've done the park so much. I would have less park time and more non-park time, and I would do more.
Yeah, go to the spa.
I would do the spa, and I might, you know, try a round of golf, and I'd do some watercraft, and I'd do different things.
Oh, I'd go parasailing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And then we'll go to Victoria and Albert's.
I might even want to just hang around at the pool, maybe get one of those little cabanas so I don't burn.
The pool over at, Animal Kingdom Lodge in Kidani Village was really nice.
The cabanas at Grand Floridian are nice, too.
So, do you have to rent those, or are they?
Yeah,
you have to rent it. Yeah, but they're not bad.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Yeah, it turns into like a regular vacation, going to the beach or the mountains or whatever. When you go as an adult, and you want to but you have the bonus of being able to go to Epcot at night and ride some rides and see a show and get a drink and have some
and
nice
resort
food.
Hopping, and no one complains when you're resort hopping.
There's a lot of.
You don't have to look for your stroller.
Yeah, you can go to the Trader Sam's, have a drink, and then if you want to go ride Pirates or something, and you got to...
It depends on how much you drink at Food and Wine Festival if you need the stroller.
No stroller.
Now, once again, is the stroller for the kids or for the adults?
It's for the adults.
In this case, it might be for Lauren. Okay, Sharpie, have you gathered your thoughts?
Yeah. First off, we've never gone to Cirque, so we would definitely do Cirque du Soleil. And then as far as where we would stay, we would definitely stay at the Grand Floridian because that's we've only stayed there at the DVC Villas. We stayed at the hotel on the one. AP that we did, but definitely stay Grand Floridian. Definitely do Club Level because it's so incredibly nice. We would definitely do Park Hoppers with Water Park Fun and More. Honestly, probably do 10 nights. Definitely plan to spend a lot of time at the resort. Spa appointment, definitely, after our experience in July, we would definitely go back to the spa. So lots of things that just kind of make the trip very memorable. So I mean, if you go and just do the parks, it's one thing, but if you go and actually treat it as a resort vacation with
the
fantastic
big
theme parks at your door, it really does begin to take on a life of its own as a great vacation, not just a trip to Walt Disney World.
Amen. I hear you. I agree. I would, it would be a low key vacation. It would be, very relaxing. It would be fast in some points and slower in others. I think it would have a completely different feel without children. All right, that I think is going to wrap up our topic for tonight. That went on and on. It's surprising. Mm-hmm. And Chris, we have a listener question, don't we?
Yes. Okay, I like this one. This is from Alyssa, and she writes, best rides that you can take both a 2- and a 5-year-old on. Now, she's actually got a couple different questions, so let's answer this first one. What would you take a 2- and a 5-year-old on?
Ooh, Pirates.
In which park?
Yeah.
I'm going Pirates.
Pirates, Winnie the Pooh. So if you start at Magic Kingdom.
Pick a park, any park.
Let's just go through them. Pirates at Magic Kingdom. What else at Magic Kingdom?
2- and a 5-year-old, Small World.
Small World.
Anything at Fantasy
Peter Pan's Land. Flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything in Fantasyland, you're right. Oh, can you take a 2-year-old on Seven Dwarfs?
No.
38 okay. inches.
Okay.
Unless they're really tall.
Unless they're a very short, very tall 2-year-old, which Steve might have been.
Could well, you've got what is it? The Ariel, Under the Sea, Little Voyage of Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah, there's a bunch of
Enchanted
cute.
Tales.
Buzz Lightyear is fine Monsters. Over in Tomorrowland.
Monsters.
Yeah, Monsters Incorporated. TTC or sorry, Tomorrowland Transit Authority.
Mm-hmm. Carousel Progress.
Oh, absolutely! You got to start indoctrinating them young. Aladdin over in
Dumbo.
Jungle Dumbo. Cruise.
Jungle Cruise, yes.
Because it's never too early for cheesy humor.
You got a lot
really,
of Magic Kingdom is your
four
park.
Rides that a 2 and a 5-year-old might not be able to do. So everything really.
Everything with the mountains in Magic Kingdom. Everything but Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. In Hollywood Studios, right? Is
Star
there anything?
Tours is
I don't okay. know about Star Tours.
Yeah. Not a lot left at Hollywood Studios. It's worth.
And same thing with Epcot. I mean, you Soaring, Test Track, and Mission Space are all 40 inches or taller.
Yeah, so you got Nemo at the Living Seas. You got some character interactions. Kidcot walking around.
Don't do Ellen's Energy Adventure for the fear of the fact they'll never want to go back to Disney again.
It's like 48 minutes of boredom.
They really need to do something with that attraction.
Oh, it's got to go away. It really does.
We're locking you in here for almost an hour.
Illuminations need to go away.
Yeah. Hey, I love Illuminations.
Oh,
All right. This isn't about you people. This is about
a 2-year-old and a.
Alyssa Fire. Doesn't like it either.
Yes. Okay.
Alyssa,
so
you love it.
So anything that won't scare the bejesus out of them, that's basically what you have to do. And they'll be fine and dandy.
Animal Kingdom, you might want to stay away from dinosaur.
All right. Yeah. They're too little. Exactly. And I tell everyone that now because I think of Steve's story about it and how Amber didn't like it. So, okay. She's also got a question that will be near and dear to Lauren's heart. Best drinks at Epcot for parent Disney date night.
Oh. You got to go with the orange Grey Goose.
I have to agree.
Yep.
And Paris, the chocolate.
Top of the
and
list.
The coffee margarita, right, Steve?
It's like. It's too expensive for me.
How about the Dole Whip?
It was like it was over $20 for that margarita.
It was. It was very
expensive. What, $22 or $24 or $28? It was somewhere in between.
No, it was $15.
Yeah, it was a lot of money. What happened to me? I thought I got quite that bad.
All right, $15.
It's $15.
You had already had a lot of wine at that. You were already intoxicated. You don't remember what you were doing.
I like the Grey Goose slushy is good. And then if you go during Food and Wine, you can get like a sampler of different beers, which is a good value. And they had like a, what was it, like an orange beer?
Oh, that was really good.
It was grapefruit.
There was a couple that were different that were worth trying.
You know what? The nice thing about Epcot is you can just pretty much start walking and find something you're going to like.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run into alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, Disney has gotten really like, except in the Magic Kingdom, of course, they've gotten really like, there's alcohol everywhere. And you know, you could either think that's a good thing or a bad thing.
But it's not like Universal Studios or Six Flags or something. Where
I don't
like,
know. You know, Hollywood Studios Star Wars weekend, everywhere you look, there was a kiosk selling something.
They're like doing like. Stuff in
the
test
dark
tubes.
Side versus
the dark side shot.
Yeah, so
okay,
there were a lot of drunk people there. So yeah, okay. So and she's actually got a third question, and she says, "What do I pack for Florida weather at the end of November, early December? Pack everything. It could be all over the place, right? You could start the weekend out with like a beautiful forecast, and by Friday of the next week, it's freezing. And you're walking around in a blanket that you borrowed from your hotel, yeah. which we see that all the time.
It can be hot during the day, yeah. and then as soon as the sun goes down, it can drop pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
so you gotta
that's
be,
definitely.
You got to be ready for both.
You know what I like? I actually like those jackets with the zip-out liners, so you can go back and forth. And a lovely pashmina.
Ooh, I'm not even sure
I'm kidding.
Pashmina is.
Steve doesn't know where you wear it.
I know. It's wear it on your head, Steve.
A pashmina?
Don't you know? Yes, you would look great in one, a pink one.
Is it kind of like a snug?
It is not really.
It's okay, a classy for you, it's like a version snug. Of a snuggie.
Do you know what?
It's just that versatile.
Do you know how when it gets really cold in the parks during that time and people who didn't know better, didn't pack anything, and you do see people walking around in those Disney Snuggies. Mm. It's like at a certain point, you're like, I don't even care. I'm putting on a Disney Snuggie and I'm walking around the park.
Hey, I have walked around the parks in, with a beach towel wrapped around my waist before because
yes.
they were on clearance and I was freezing.
Yep. Actually, I think... Yeah, Lisa suggested that for me because, or it was Lauren, one or the other, because we were freezing. It was July, but it was a night out in Disneyland and it got really cold. So I just went and bought a sweatshirt, but it was like.
I don't know why you just didn't use the tablecloth like you've done before.
I know, right? It was classy. Yeah. yes. So,
that's the reason
Alyssa,
why I hang out with you people. Everyone's so classy.
Oh, we are.
We are a classy bunch.
The nice thing for Alyssa though is she's going like, well, we just talked about it earlier. One of the best times of the year to go. So, have a wonderful time and bring lots of layers just in case. Okay. And shorts.
All right. We're going to take another little trip and we're going to go over to the tip of the week. Steve. I think you brought this one up. Or was it Sharpie?
It's Sharpie, actually.
Sharpie. You remember your tip of the week?
Yes, I do remember my tip of the week. If you're planning a multi-family trip, make sure that someone is the lead planner on the trip. Or use a travel agent so that way everyone can have a central point of contact for all of their vacation planning needs. Because in some families, there is that person who wants to take charge and be in charge of the vacation. But in some families, there isn't. So for those of you who don't have that incredibly detail-oriented person in your family, give us a call.
And can I add to that suggestion?
Yeah.
If you have a really big group going to Disney, one of my suggestions is create a group Facebook page that just you guys can access that you can share information for the upcoming trip. Don't include your travel agent in that page because it's just too crazy for them. They can't follow it. But create it just so that you guys have a place to go to talk easily and share information.
I will say that I've had two sets of clients that were big groups do that. And the first set, it was a disaster. It really was. But the second set, it has actually been really, really helpful because, you know, they put up a thing about fast passes. And one of the things they did is they didn't have a Peter Pan, which I was like, well, you need Peter Pan because you have like tons of kids under 10. So, you know, I wouldn't have spotted that if I hadn't been on their Facebook page and, you know, maybe said, hey, you know, get a Peter Pan Fastpass. They are very well organized, though, and they're also really easy to work with. I think it depends on the personalities. But, you know, Lauren, you know, you might have had a different experience. So I really like that idea.
Well, I just think as the agent, it's really hard to keep track of your own Facebook page, let alone trying to remember to check a group page.
Yeah.
Well,
so
and you know
if
what?
They communicate with each other and have one individual person communicate information to you that needs to be communicated. I think that's easier than you trying to follow 10 or 15 different families trying to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I don't have a lot doing it. I have one, like I said, I have a group of five families. They're, you know, they have one person who mainly posts, and she and I are friends on Facebook, so it's easier to follow her anyway. But, Yeah. I mean, like I said, I had a good experience and I had a negative experience. I kind of like the idea and I kind of like doing it, but it depends on the situation. And you have a lot bigger client, you know, base than I do. So it probably, I might feel better or differently in another situation.
Yeah. Well, and they're probably more individual situations anyway.
Okay. Yeah. But the point is, someone needs to be in charge. Someone needs to make final decisions, and someone needs to be essentially your Pied Piper, your point of contact.
Yes.
Yeah,
or else you're all standing there going, what do you want to ride? I don't care.
Yep.
What do you want to ride?
What do you want to ride? Where do you want to eat?
I call my one girl who's planning for this group of five that's going to September, I call her General Patton. And she's on everything. And to be honest, none of them go through me ever. They go through her and she'll relay messages. Like, I got a text from her today saying, hey, you know, we need such and such. And I mean, it's actually really helpful to have that one person doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to wrap up the show. No more talking, no more tangents. I would like to thank Pixie Vacations for sponsoring the podcast. If you like our shows, you can go to iTunes or mousechat.net to download them. If you have comments or questions for us, we love those. Send those to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thank you so much for listening, and please join us again next time on Mousechat.